All right, 9 minutes gone past the hour of four. And yes, conversations continue here on Hard Facts with Kalada Kuru, Baltimore 92.3 Nigeria Info. I have a very important conversation that I'd like to have with you right now. And before we go into the conversation proper, and before I tell you what I would like us to talk about, I want you to take a listen to the Commissioner for Health, River State, Adesi Ore, who had something to say. You know, she had something to say concerning what you and I will talk about today.
Although this represents a drop from the previous value of 15.2% prevalence in 2010, the large number of estimated people living with HIV requires humongous efforts to achieve epidemic control. Presently in the state, it is estimated that 95% of people living with HIV are aware of their HIV status, 98% are on treatment, and 87% are virally suppressed and are receiving treatment in about 116 health facilities across the state.
She also said that in 2018 National AIDS Indicator and Impact Survey by the Federal Ministry of Health with Maryland University, United States, Rivers State was placed as the third highest state with HIV AIDS infection after Akwa Ibom and Benue State. And, you know, health, they say, is wealth. If we must have the development that we so crave, that we so seek, we would have to ensure that we have a very healthy society. We would have to ensure that, you know, we take care of ourselves. And, you know, I'm wondering why we are number three when it comes to the ranking of HIV or the states with the most HIV infections. And so I have a doctor who, you know, is specialized in infectious diseases, and he goes by the name Dr. Chizaram Onyagala. Welcome on the show. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you, Ram. Good afternoon.
All right. So, can you explain a little bit further what the Commissioner for Health was trying to talk about? You know, saying 96% of people infected know about it, 98% of them are currently, you know, receiving treatment, while you know, about 87% of them are their viral load is suppressed, something like that. But then again, there is the part that says that there is also the fear that many people who are infected don't know about their condition. So, can you explain a little bit further? Let's start from there.
Okay, thanks again for having me on the show.
All right, thank you for coming.
I believe that HIV virus is a virus that we all should know about, the virus of public health importance. So, just to do a bit basically, there's a body they call United Nations.
Yeah.
That is in charge. We all know about United Nations.
Yeah.
So there is a particular agency there for United Nations for AIDS, UNAIDS, which actually, you know, creates platforms to address the body discourse of HIV. So they put up what we call the next target of trying to end the AIDS, you know, pandemic as it were. That by the year 2030. The target is that the ambitious target anyway, but the target should be that 95% of the population should have tested and known their status. So everybody, 95% of the total population. So in River, since we know what the population of River State is, you expect that 95% of everybody in River State should know what their HIV status is. Then another 95% of the people that tested should be on medication. Of course, we know that these medications are accessible in the various health facilities that the commissioner had, you know, enlisted. And then the next thing is that 95% of those that are on treatment should be virally suppressed.
Okay.
So what that simply means is that if you're able to get that up, if you're able to know your status, be on drugs, and also be virally suppressed, then you will be able to stop the spread of the virus.
So she was speaking, she was speaking futuristically, something like that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That was the target.
But then again, why do you think River State is ranked number three? Is it the failure of the stakeholders in the health sector to sensitize the people? Is it ignorance, or what I call it, stubbornness of the people, you know, to comply with, you know, health and safety procedures? In your, you know, in your own opinion, what do you think is the reason why there is a prevalence of the infection in River State?
Leave it to River State. I must say that River State has a very good health system. Not very good, but at least when you compare with all the other states, River State health system is not bad. It's actually very okay. Because the primary health centers are using them for the provision of HIV program. So the primary centers are not doing badly. The state has a supportive provision that visits medical centers and general hospitals, which are part of and do that supportive provision from time to time to see what they do at the state level. So the health system, the HIV program in the state is okay. But then HIV is not a spiritual problem. So it's about risky behaviors, what the kind of things we indulge in, and then also access. And then there's something also we should know about is the fact that, you know, we like this case in let communities lead. So we need to give back the people of this year being the world. What is we need to give back the, you know, the control of the prevention of HIV in the communities. We should never commit other people. So what happens is that we stigmatize people and have this virus, rather than actually encouraging them to, you know, care of their jobs and do all of that. So if we are able to encourage ourselves and not stigmatize, those are part of the reasons why some of these things are happening. Of course, we know that River State is a tourist state. It's a state that has a lot of it's a state that people come to for various reasons. So some of the behavior, some of the things are expected in a mega city. But then it's how we are able to encourage ourselves, you know, de-escalate the stigmatization, support ourselves. Those are the things that bring down the numbers.
All right. Now, before we even get into, you know, stigmatization, let's start with prevention. You mentioned risky behaviors. It said you said it's usually because of risky behaviors that we find the numbers rising. What are some of these risky behaviors? Because I do think that just maybe, you know, the generation from 1 to 20 or 1 to 25 years of age may not have been sensitized the way it used to be in time past. So the question that I want to ask, what are some of these risky behaviors that we indulge in that has got the numbers as high as the numbers are?
The age that, you know, from available studies that we seem to have people that have the higher prevalence between about 15, you know, 18 to 49 years.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah, that's about the age. But then, of course, the more of the age is actually the younger age group, between that 18 and 20-something. But then, that's where the more of that, you know, percentage is. And then when you look, if you take a close look at that percentage, you know, basically, you know, to engage in sexual and contact is not actually a problem. But then you should be able to, you know, have what they call sexual health. So, for example, we know that there are some things we are trying to de-escalate. You know, we want people not to engage in what we call condom next sex. We don't want that. So if you must, you know, engage in a sexual activity, it's a behavior. Engage in a sexual behavior, then you can actually get a condom, right? So that's one. Then two, you can actually also, there's a drug now that has been found that if you take it, more like a prophylaxis, such that when you use it, and even if you have sex with someone that has HIV, you are not going to get the virus. And these things are, some of them are available in the hospitals. So we actually encourage young people, not just about getting tested, but then they can actually come and actually access these things. From time to time, you know, some of these NGOs that are interested in, you know, in prevention and control of HIV, they share, you know, some of these condoms, and these drugs are available. You can actually, you know, have
Are the drugs expensive?
They are free, actually. you're not going to pay for this drug. It's free. So if you know you're going to engage in a sexual behavior with someone you don't know his or her status, somebody take this drug and you're almost 98.9% protected from, you know, contracting this. And another thing that we should also do among the young people, which we have to actually talk about as a society, is the rate of, you know, drugs, the drugs that we use.
Mm.
This, drugs that can give you some level of, psychoactive activity. So some of these young people, they indulge in these drug abuse. And when you are indulging in some of these things, it doesn't, your mental reasoning is actually knocked out. So even if you have some of these things around, some of these tools that you can actually use to, protect yourself from contracting or acquiring this virus, you may actually not eventually see using. Society has to come together, take a lead, do away with drugs, encourage ourselves and support ourselves. These are some of the few things that are actually driving
Let me quickly ask a question. Let's go back to the drug. I've forgotten the name you called it. But, you know, when we talk condoms, we say, oh, it has a particular percentage of safety. It's not 100%. Is it same with the drug? Is the drug fail-proof or is it a particular percentage of effectiveness?
The studies have shown that the drug actually has a better percentage than the condom.
Okay.
Yeah. It has a better percentage than the condom. So
now, growing up, I was taught that you don't contract the virus or the disease only via sexual activities, that there are other ways you can actually contract the disease. Can you educate us on those other ways as well?
Okay, thank you very much for this very important question. So another important route, which we often talk about, we talk about it very strongly, is about maternal to child transmission.
Okay.
So that will be the second thing I want to talk about.
Mm.
So maternal to child transmission. So if you look at it, so that's where health system come in. What have government done? So government has created, primary health care, general hospitals in the community, just to make sure that women don't just go giving birth, in the untrained and in the unskilled hands. So if you have to give birth, go to general hospitals, primary health centers, if you're not able to get to the teaching hospitals. So what are the advantages of getting there? If you're able to get there, as part of screening, for labor and for preparing, as part of antenatal, screening, is HIV test.
Mm.
So it's compulsory. So if you're able to get the HIV test done, and then the woman is encouraged to be on these drugs, which is still free, so it means that you are driving down the numbers, because the child is very much unlikely not to contract the virus. So the numbers you begin to bring down the numbers. And of course, sometimes, even from getting a woman or getting a woman to test, and then you know that this woman has this virus, it begins to encourage the woman to bring his spouse. So before you know it, you must actually have put, and then if anything happens, and then the spouse is encouraged and he or she agrees to get tested, and then of course you have, maybe it could be positive, it may be negative, but let me eventually assume that it's positive. And then the spouse is also on top. So in essence, you want to screen the family and other contact tracing. So before you know it, most of these. So from a level of the community, they're already catching a lot of people through pregnancy, and you're putting them on drugs, they're reducing the number. But then if women are not going to places to deliver, they are going to some of these unskilled hands, untrained hands, that don't have this facility. I mean, they don't even know their status. They tend to have this together and then have it over, and the numbers keep increasing. So that's one of the causes.
Okay, we have a commercial break coming up in 1 minute, 30 seconds. I'm quickly going to ask you this question. When you take these drugs you keep mentioning, the drugs for people who have HIV, AIDS, what effect does it have? Because we've been told that there is no cure. You've been talking about these drugs that people who are infected take, and I'm asking, what effect does it have? Because we know that there is no cure, or is there a cure now for HIV?
sadly, there's still no cure for HIV, but like I always tell people, a lot of work is being done, and there will be, in no distant future, there will be something very, very positive, such as I just told you. So science is working so hard. If you're able to get off the drug that you can, if you take it, you can prevent yourself from, you know, contracting the virus. And then science is also working so hard that now we have drugs that have very less side effects. And then there's a new technology which is U is equal to U, which means undetectable is equal to untransmitted. So if you're able to avoid that form, like 5% of the unit, it's very, very important. But if you're able to take this drug and you get to that, you are not, the virus is suppressed, you live a normal life. And you're not being able to transmit the virus.
Okay. All right. So let's pause you now. When we come back, we'll continue from where we have stopped. Let's go for a commercial break. We'll be right back shortly, please.
And now, Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria.
29 minutes gone past the hour of 4. You're listening to Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. And I have been talking with Dr. Chizaram Oyagala, and he is a infectious diseases physician. And we are talking about HIV AIDS because River State is ranked number 3, and I feel like we haven't done a good job educating and sensitizing the people of River State. And so we are talking about it once again, because health is wealth. If we must have that development, if we must have that progress, then we have to ensure that we have a healthy state. And, you know, according to the data and statistics given by our doc, who's our guest on the show today, it's mostly the young people are infected by this disease. And the young people are the labor force that we have. The young people are the engine room of the state. And if we have our young people unhealthy, then what kind of state are we asking for, praying for, or building, you know? And that's why we're talking. Once again, welcome, Doc, and welcome on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. So before we went for the break, you were talking about, you know, taking the antiviral drugs, and it will, you know, suppress the viral load, and you wouldn't be able to transmit, and you would live a very healthy life. Now, the question I want to ask is, are people actually coming in their numbers to, one, test themselves, and two, take their drugs? Do we have them coming in good numbers, or, I mean, can you give us the data?
Well, that's where that's actually the problem. The problem is getting people to test as much as we want them to do. Because the first thing that we're talking about is at the population level, at the community level, large numbers of people. People that feel very healthy, people that just, because they're not having any beginning symptoms, they just walk into a health facility and to get tested. That's actually what we're talking about. So what we tend to see, maybe from the hospital disease level, are now people coming sick and they do not get tested because they're sick. Okay? So that's not the trend that we are praying for. As a person, I've done a lot of studies, community-based interventions. I've done screening at the community level, difficult to reach community in screening people. So it's not really the, you know, people are not respected. At the level of the community, so we need to be able to. I was talking about the community leaders now being in charge and telling their people, hey, you can do this.
Okay. So dentists will tell you, oh, come for checkup every 6 months. No, so twice a year. You know, also, you know, general physicians will tell you, you know, come for checkup every now and then, you know, to ensure that your vital organs are in place. How many times should one do, you know, a test, HIV test, in a year? How many times?
I think 2 times a year is very okay, if you ask me, because there are many people who test that you're doing. So if you do the first time and it's negative, even if there's what they call negative, you know, the antibody has not yet probably, you know, come into the brain. So another 6 months, definitely you get a result that is, you know, very, very big. What the situation is.
Okay.
So every 6 months,
Every 6 months. All right. My next question then will be, when it comes to this disease, is there any particular region in River State that you know data shows has gotten more, where the disease is more prevalent? Is there any data like that?
Yes, there is a data like that, although that data is a belong of the ministry. I used to have an idea, but I can't categorically say again. I don't want to say what I'm not quite
what you're not very sure.
Okay. Those data are at the level of the ministry.
So they are particular.
And also, we also use those data to plan intervention.
Okay.
So those data are really to plan intervention. Do more of the community engagement, intensify screening and treatment about those local governments and regions like us.
Okay, so you didn't mention sharp objects, but you know that's also part of how it can be transmitted, right?
Yes, definitely. Again, if you don't plan, I think quite exhausting. We only talked about sexually transmission and also maternal to child, because those two were the ones that you know have more. But when you look again at the young people, you know, look and you see young people have a lot of tattoos.
Mm.
So some of these tattoos, where are they being done? Who is doing these tattoos? What kind are they doing? And is this the same mark or the same pen you're using to draw for A and you're using to draw for B? And people are asking questions and all that. So we also need to take charge of our health. And then also, there are also some cultural practices that we have been trying to talk about, trying to ask, let's do away with some of the cultural practices, some of these clarification marks that we think that if we do them and all that. So these are the risky, we don't say risky behaviors, but these are some of the risky behaviors that we should begin to, please, we shouldn't do this. But nature has done a whole lot. In the past, you know, there used to be a list of syringe, you know, needle exchange, now there's a needle exchange program or, you know, when you use in a syringe, you put it away. In the, you know, some years, decades ago, you know, through syringes and all that, it was some of the sharp objects that are being used. And also, not transition, that's still one of the ways for them. We expect that most of the hospitals, you know, should screen their blood before you transfer someone, you know, their blood should screen it. So, some of that risk that I didn't quite mention.
Okay. Let me ask you one final question. I was going to ask one final question and I lost connection. So I'm going to open the phone lines now. Yes, you and I will talk. River State is ranked number 3 among states with the highest infection of HIV/AIDS. By the way, today is World AIDS Day. And so it's good we have this conversation and talk for development of our health sector or even our individual health. I would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts concerning the conversation we just had? Young people are the most infected. Is it that we as, you know, the older generation, have we failed in sensitization of the younger people? Basically, what are your reactions? I mean, I have so many questions that I want to ask you, but there is no much time and I have to go back, you know, to the phone line to see how I can connect with my guest. But what are your thoughts? Why do you think we are ranked number 3? What bad habits? What are we not taking into cognizance? Is it that we don't believe that this disease exists like we did with COVID-19? A lot of questions, like I said, but then let's hear you. 0817-923-0002 and 0817-923-0003. WhatsApp messages to the number 0809-030-6416. I'd like to get your thoughts on this very issue. I'd like to hear what is on your mind. And tell me what you think about, you know, our current ranking. You know, what do you think about that? 0817-923-0002. and 0817-923-0003. Right now, I'm trying to re-establish connection with my guest, pending when your call will come in. All right, we've got 22 minutes left, or now 21 minutes left on the clock. So you can do very well to call in and let's get your thoughts and let's talk for development, right? All right, let's see. Yeah, Doc, welcome back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we lost the connection for a bit there. So I was going to ask you, since we're talking about sharp objects, how long does it take to sterilize a sharp object? What should be used in sterilizing that very sharp object? You know, like clippers that would be used by more than one person, like, you know, several other sharp objects. But before you answer that question, let's take a call from Chinwe, who's calling from Eneka. Chinwe, welcome.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, sir.
I want to ask a question on this program now.
All right, let's hear you, Chinwe.
I want to ask if the disease can be inherited from maybe somebody that has it from the parents.
Yes, it can. That's what we've been talking about. It can be inherited, but that's why you need to go to, you know, a teaching hospital or, you know, a government-approved hospital so that they have, because they have a procedure with which they can stop the transmission from the mother to the child.
The person should go for testing.
Doc, help me out here. Help me with the explanation, please.
Okay.
You said the person should go for testing.
Chinwe, listen to the talk.
So that's what we're talking about. You have to test them. Part of a routine antenatal care, obviously.
All right, I hope, Chinwe, you heard what the doc said. Well, thank you for calling. Chukuma from Port Harcourt, welcome. What is on your mind? What question or contribution do you have?
Okay, yeah. Canada, I need to contribute on the figure that they rolled out for River State.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we are looking at prevalence here.
Mm.
So if they say that we are ranking third, the prevalence of HIV also in Nigeria. It does not really mean that River State is not doing well.
Okay.
It could be that they're doing well and that is why the prevalence is high. Because it's a chronic disease. So when treatment is effective and people are complying with their medication, there will be more number of people living with HIV in that region compared to another region where people are not compliant with their medication and they're dying.
Okay. You do have a point.
If you look at it, you might think that, okay, our prevalence is high. Why is it so high? Without knowing that in other regions, people are dying of the same disease. So you expect the prevalence to be high. Mm. But if we are looking at the incident cases, how many people are coming down with the disease, you know, in a year, that will actually give us an indication if we are doing well. Because I know there are a lot of campaigns about HIV and the health workers, the pharmacies, the doctors. So there are also pilot programs by IVN or so. River State is one of the places to do this.
Chukuma, are you working in the health ministry, right, or are you a doctor, nurse? Are you in the health sector?
I'm an epidemiologist.
No wonder. Yes. Thank you very much, Chukuma. Yes. Thank you for your time, my
friend. I'm an epidemiologist.
All right, then. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Back to you, Doc. I was asking you, how long does it take you know, to sterilize a sharp object, and what should we use to sterilize a sharp object?
If we use a hypochlorite solution, but it's just that like, you know, the chemical name for those that do chemistry. So basically, you can actually use a jig is hypochlorite. So you can actually use it to sterilize. But if you put any type of thing that you know you recycle, you know, a jig, it's actually fine, actually, you know, from minutes to hours, actually helps, you know, to sterilize that. But there are other things that they use. Since the clippers, they tend to use air and all of that. But this is about the virus. The virus, once the virus is exposed to air, it's just a matter of minutes. The virus dies. So, if you notice, I didn't find, you know, talk much about
sharp objects.
Sharp objects. Because the sharp objects that give you the high risk are the sharp objects where you pick somebody's blood. You puncture probably a vein, and then you pick the blood, and then you're not using that sharp object on another person.
Oh.
So that blood, that blood part is it. So probably you're passing somebody at them, you just a little bit of scraping, and they use that same thing, but the risk is very, very low.
So you're saying once the virus leaves the body and is exposed to air, it does not last more than minutes.
Yes.
But if it gets back to the blood, you know, it doesn't come alive, you know. We've heard stories like it comes back alive or something like that.
You know, you just pick into the artery or into get a very large chunk of blood. If you don't have syringes, you know that syringes, you're not able to see,
Yeah.
You know that needle has a point, and then blood can actually be inside that needle.
Oh.
Inside that needle.
Oh.
And then you're not using that needle, you know, for another person.
All right.
Maybe for those that don't know that. So those are a bit of, you know, very significant risk.
All right.
And then also other forms of labor and other things that happen in the hospital where you are seeing this patient and you are attending to this patient almost immediately. And you are attending to this patient almost immediately. So if you're not able to be sterilizing most of those, if you must use them, then those are also some of the things I can put.
All right.
At risk, especially with sharp.
All right, there's a question for you. It says, hello, Kalada. Ask your guest if AIDS and HIV are the most dreaded diseases in the world today, because why are we panicking when AIDS and HIV is said to be high in River State? That's a question for you, Doc.
Okay, I'll just use what the epidemiologist has said. But the epidemiologist, when you look at prevalence, just like he said, prevalence is just telling you those that have that the disease, both those that are new and those that are old. So it just kind of, you know, tells you that the state is problem of the state that I said earlier.
Okay.
It's strong enough for us to have this data and we have this data. But then the incidence is now those that have this disease as you know, and all of that. But and again, it also tells you about the longevity of, you know, PLHIV, that's those people living with HIV.
Mm.
So they're beginning to live long enough. So they're showing that they're beginning to live long enough, just like any other person, and they are dying of non-HIV-related complications. So it's not as dreaded as... I can tell you that there are so many other dreaded diseases that are more dreaded than HIV, especially those that know their status and they are on drugs and they are violently suppressed.
All right.
That is their normal life.
All right. Anene Kenechi from Aba says, I would like to draw the sharp... I don't get that part. It's under the fact that River State occupying the third position when it comes to HIV/AIDS infection is actually a good prospect. It means more screening and testing are being done, and the earlier people know their HIV status, the lower the mortality rate and transmission. To address your question, presenter, the ART regimen might interfere with the viral reverse transcript taste for replication, or even, are you trying to show you're a doctor because the BB grammar you're using, my goodness. But let's go back to the phone lines. 0817 923 0002 and 0817-923-0003. Do call in. Let's get your questions, your contributions as we, you know, begin to wrap up the show. And so we can let our guest go and continue his busy schedule, or continue with his busy schedule. So let's get your thoughts, 0817-923-0002 and 0817-923-0003. While I'm waiting for the calls to come, I think we're having network issues. Let me come back to you, Doc. So what would your advice be to the younger people? You said from between 18 and 49, that age range is the most infected when it comes to HIV, AIDS infection in River State. What advice then do you have for them, especially in River State here?
In terms of any young person, any young group of persons that are, you know, listening to this show, you know, to know that HIV is not a death sentence.
Okay.
You know, HIV should not be stigmatized. It's not it's not something that you should be afraid of. So please, anytime you have an opportunity, you know, to test yourself, please just, you know, get yourself tested. And I'm using this opportunity to call on those people to always see that they can, you know, sometimes not some patients that come and say, I'm coming for, you know, through general medical checkup, they should put 1st of December of every year at least, that means they have to go and know their HIV. 1st of December, every 1st of December, they should get to know their status. And it's not a health center. Most of these drugs are not as strong as they used to be before. We have better drugs now that can, you know, you can take and, you know, you live a normal life.
All right. Let's listen to Christian from Awuda. Christian, welcome. What is on your mind? I'd like to hear.
Good evening, Kalata.
Yeah, greetings.
Good evening to your guest. My question is this. Can that can it transfer through mosquito bite? Thank you.
All right. I mean, I don't think so. But let's listen to the dog. Dog, can it be transmitted via mosquito bites?
I don't want to scare people, so I wouldn't want to put out things that are still at the research, you know, stage and all that. So, in science, they say anything is possible, but for now, it has not been proven that it can be transmitted to mosquito.
All right, then. All right, thank you very much for your time. Is there any other thing you want to add to our conversation before I let you go?
Well, the only thing I want to talk about, or if I just add, is about the stigmatization. We need to support the people living with HIV. See them as our brothers and our sisters, and encourage them. We should allow them to take positions in the community and support them. Let them be part of every community. We shouldn't, you know, ostracize them or try to make them think that they are less, you know, human than us. So we should always remember that, and that, you know, HIV is not a death sentence. The condition that you can live throughout the rest of, you can live and have a very long normal life. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, Doc. Thank you very much for your time. I would entertain one or two more calls, and then we'll wrap this one up and go for that commercial break that is coming our way in the next, 3 minutes, thereabout. What's your take on this? I mean, we ranked number 3. Some people say, it's because we are doing a great work. We're testing, we are working, and we are ensuring that we reduce the viral load in a infected or in an infected person. But I've got Doris. Doris is calling from Port Harcourt. Doris, welcome on the show. What is on your mind, please? Let's hear you.
Nigerian info. I am Doris calling from Port Harcourt.
All right, Doris, welcome.
I want to talk about the issue of
You want to talk about? Sorry, I didn't get that.
The teaching of reverse languages.
Oh, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about Rivers languages on the show. We're talking about HIV AIDS.
Okay, so that's topic is similar.
I don't know if it was done, but not on my show. But thank you nonetheless for calling in. I would have to let you go. So I was saying, what was I even saying before the call came in? I kind of remember now. But hey, some people do say that the reason why River State is ranked number 3 is because we are testing and we are trying to ensure that as many people who are infected are tested and they know their status and they're taking the drugs that are, you know, needed for fighting or suppressing, you know, the virus or the viral load, and so you don't transmit and so you can live a very healthy life. However, for those of you who cannot zip up, you know, I remember growing up to the zip up advert. For a lot of you who cannot zip up, you also said there is a drug that you can take which is believed, according to research, to be more effective than you know, the condom or something like that. So government usually would pay for some of all of this things, preventive and you know, treatment measures. So you want to, because we need a very healthy young population in River State, and I'm hoping that I've been able to bring sensitization your way. I'm hoping and so you know, HIV, you may be able to live with it, but I don't know. I should have asked him. I think AIDS is the one where there usually is a problem. And if your HIV metamorphosis to AIDS, then you do have a problem. So you want to make sure that you go in for treatment before it gets to the later stage where, you know, treatment is just like cancer. You know, if you catch it early, you can treat it.